the book of Genesis chapter 22, please. Genesis 22, first book of the Bible, chapter 22. Thank you, Brother Joe, for that great song, the truth of our Savior and His care and His love. He doesn't leave us alone. Thank God for that. I do want to just make a few quick announcements. A set of keys were found yesterday at the picnic. So if you are missing any keys, please just let us know. But they were found there on the ground. They're at the farm. So if you have those, have them right up here at the pulpit. And hopefully you were able to get in your house last night or whatever the case may be. But nevertheless, we had a great time yesterday. God gave us a great day. Amen. We had a good show up and it was good attendance, and good food and good fellowship, good fishing. Man, I got alliteration going there. But it was just a joyful time. And thank you for coming out, those of you that were able to come. And I tell you though, that fishing thing, I'm glad I don't fish for a living. Because I'm telling you right now, I was humbled even the day before the picnic when we were just setting up. We went out and fished a little bit and had Greg Ward and Sophia Ward go out with me. And I tell you what, she had a little frozen Disney rod. It was about that long. And I had my nice rod and reel out there catching them. And she caught six and I caught one. I said, we're going to have to sit Sophia in time out. She's got to stop this. She outfished Pastor, and she enjoyed every bit of it. And I loved seeing her catch them, but I must admit, I had to swallow my pride, okay? This little girl out fishing me with a little frozen rod. But that's okay. We'll be all right. But certainly enjoyed it, and looking forward to next time already. I think it does God's people a lot of good for us just to get out there and relax, catch up with life, encourage one another, rekindle friendships, and make new ones. I think that's so important for the local church. And by God's grace, we'll continue to have activities like that throughout the year to help facilitate that very thing. Okay, you're with me, I hope, there in Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22, I'm going to read a lengthy passage here. But my subject this morning is on the subject of one of the names of God. We studied last Sunday morning the three main names of God in the Old Testament. Where the first use of God's name comes from the Hebrew word Elohim. In the beginning, God, Elohim, created the heavens and the earth. And we then studied His second name, Jehovah, which is His personal name, His covenant name, the name that which is used the most in the Old Testament, and also that name which is shared with no other, as the other two are. In other context. And then we studied about the third name of our God that is used, and that is Adonai, meaning our master, the one who is in control, the one who is in charge. And so we studied those, and then with the Lord's help, the next several messages, whether they'll be a Sunday morning or Sunday evening, I'm not sure, but we're going to look at some of the compound names that go with Jehovah. With the name Jehovah, Yahweh, the personal name of God. And this morning we're going to look at the particular one that is Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh. And it is found only once in our scriptures. Jehovah Jireh. And it is in this context of chapter 22 of Genesis. Now I will say that the meaning of His name is found throughout all of Scripture. But the specific name, Jehovah Jireh, is used once in Genesis chapter 22, and we'll get to it here in just a moment. But please read along with me as we look to God and His Word. Genesis chapter 22 says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell of thee. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide Himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of the heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord. For because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice." Let's pray. Father, Lord, please open our hearts and our minds to the Word of God this morning. I pray that, Lord, I would not try to preach this message in my own power, but I would simply yield to the Holy Spirit of God, and You would fill me, and God, that You would supernaturally work deeply into the hearts of the people that are before me. Oh God Almighty, I trust You. You are Jehovah Jireh. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen. You've heard the term primary care provider, I'm sure. At some point you have been asked that on an application or some kind of form of who is your primary care provider. Now usually in that, when you hear that term in the context, it is in a reference to doctors, nurse practitioners, physician assistants, or those who provide or coordinate or help patients with a wide range of health care services. That is the context we normally think of that. But let me submit to you this morning, church, that I believe, spiritually speaking, our primary and truly the one and only care provider is the Lord Jehovah. He is the one, my friends, for God's people that we can trust to meet every single one of our needs. There needs to be no doubt, not even a seed of doubt in any of our hearts and minds this morning that God is able to take care of us. He is faithful to provide perfectly. And we're going to see that demonstrated right here in the Word of God as we've just read together. We see a couple things here. I see two main themes of this passage that I just read to you. Number one, the first theme I have seen is the faith of Abraham. The second main theme that I see is the faithfulness of God. Those two coupled together, my friends, you will see in your life God provide supernaturally. Ways that you won't be able to get any glory, but that you will be able to say, look at the faithfulness of God. I want us to see two things here, and I just basically want to preach a message with two points this morning. The first one is this. Have you surrendered all you have to God? All you have to God. That's what we see indeed take place in the life of Abraham. You'll remember this is toward the end of Abraham's life. He has already had several encounters with God where God has approached him and has worked in his life, even done some correction and chastening that we saw after Abraham went down to Egypt and came back. And even after he even lied a second time, God dealt with him and corrected him. But thank God we see a pattern in Abraham. He always responded to the correction of God. And folks, there's it's very important for us to realize that when God corrects us, that we respond to Him. There are certain believers, even right now, that are under the correcting hand of God, the correcting loving hand of God, who are still rebelling. But God is seeking to bring them back. Well, Abraham responded, even when he sinned against God, when God dealt with him. So now we get towards the end, and many have given this chapter or this passage the title of this, the largest or the greatest test of Abraham's life. And I would tend to agree, from my perspective and maybe yours, that this had to be the greatest test of this man's life. You see here, number one, have you surrendered all? We understand some of the characteristics we see throughout this passage, even beginning in the very first part of it, where we see the call of Abraham. This includes obedience. Number one, we see that God is going to call Abraham here in the very first passage. And it's interesting that what the Word of God tells us that God was doing. That's an interesting phrase right there, is it not? Where it says in verse 1, and it came to pass after these things. This is after Abraham had been faithfully serving the Lord and had been responding to God Almighty and his journeying in the land of Canaan. He was being faithful and he was trusting the everlasting God. But notice what the verse says. After these things, that God did what? What does your Bible say? Tempt. Tempt Abraham. Well, what does that mean? That does not mean that God tempted Abraham to sin. Okay? We know God tempteth no man to do evil. We know that from the book of James, and we know that from the consistency of the Word of God. But that word means test. That word means examine. That word means prove. Abraham still needed some proving in his life. And hey, can I just say that everybody in this room is still in a place that needs to have continual proving? There's nobody in this room that's passed the final exam. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how mature you are in Christ. No one here has passed the final exam. Because, my friends, the tests that God gives continue to come. And sometimes they do grow in their seriousness. Sometimes they do grow in their difficulty. But here's the beautiful thing about the test of God. The greater the test means the greater the faith. And the more trials you get in your life, the more you have trials in your life is the more faith you're going to have in your life. You want to have little trials? You have little faith. If you have many trials, you'll have much faith. And so we see here that Abraham, who was walking with God, obviously, was going to be tested by Abraham. And by the way, can I just say right here, you can note it in your notes or your Bible, that just because you're being tested in your life right now does not necessarily mean that you're in trouble. You may be going through a very much a difficulty right now in your life. It doesn't mean you're in trouble. It doesn't mean that you're being punished. It could simply mean God observing your life and realizing as His child that your faith needs to grow. That you can be used greatly of God, and God wants to take you to that next level of walking with Him, of knowing Him and trusting Him. That is the goal. Have you surrendered all you have? Abraham did. He obeyed right away. He said, Lord, behold, here I am. He was available. And so what did God say? God gave him a clear-cut command. He said, take now thy son. Now, wait a minute. How many sons did Abraham have? We know of at least how many. No. Abraham had at least how many sons? Two. Because he did have Ishmael and he did have Isaac. So which son is God talking about where He's going to make it clear? He goes on to say, He says, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac. Now, it's interesting that He says that right there because you can imagine in Abraham's mind, maybe he's thinking at the very beginning, which one? And he says, well, the one that you have fathered. Well, He has fathered two sons. All right. So now the question is, he says, no, thine only son, Isaac. He gives the name and he also says there, whom thou lovest. And what he is talking about right there is he's talking about the one who would be the promised seed. There was only one son that would be the promised seed. And his name was Isaac. It was that one that was dearest to him. It was that one that was most precious to him. My friends, you have to admit with me here this morning that this has got to be a test that truly went to the very depths of Abraham's soul. I cannot imagine. Here's a man that's faithfully serving God, doing what the Lord called him to do. And out of nowhere, Jehovah, the Lord God, the covenant-keeping God, the personal and gracious God, comes to Abraham and it says, take your son, your only son, the one that you love, the one that I have promised that my seed would come through, and you go and you take him to be a burnt offering. There is a seemingly contradiction in the Word of God. And I can imagine that Abraham in his mind is thinking, if he's anything like me, humanly speaking, how are these going to reconcile? You've promised the Messiah through this son, Isaac. And now you're telling me to take him to be a burnt offering. How are these going to add up? But you know, the Word of God says, and that we look to this morning, that Abraham simply obeyed. He obeyed the command of God. Perhaps it didn't make a lot of sense to him, but we see that Abraham had such a walk with God, he in his mind believed that God would make a way. I like what one writer said. He said, he does not know definitely what he expects, speaking of Abraham. He is ready to slay Isaac, but his faith is not quenched. Though the end seems so inevitable and near, faith was never more sharply tested and never more triumphantly stood the test. You see, God was testing Abraham to see if he would truly give all to God. Abraham rose early. He did what he needed to do. He obeyed the Lord. He went into the place which God had told him at the end of verse 3. And on the third day of journeying, some 50, 60 miles of walking with his son and his servants, the two servants with him, Abram told the two that were with him to stay while he and the lad would go and worship. But we're going to see several things there that we see in the life of Abraham. But you see, Abraham was called to surrender all. Can I say this? As one wrote, if you release what's in your hand, God will release what's in His hand. And God is calling every one of His children to a life of complete surrender. And what God is wanting to do as Jehovah Jireh, to make the miraculous provisions in our life, in order for Abraham to see Jehovah Jireh, Abraham had to fulfill the role of a completely surrendered Christian. Every single part of his life was laid upon the altar. Isaac was his dearest, was his hope, his dreams. He was longing to see Isaac fulfill that promised seed that God had given. And there are going to be some things in your life, brethren, that maybe all your hopes and dreams are in. God's going to touch and God's going to say, are you going to give it to me? And are you going to trust me with it? Are you going to trust me to work? You see, Abraham went with the theme of his life, 'tis mine to obey, 'tis his to provide. You know, McLaren said this, anything was possible, but that God's word should fail was impossible. And so as this command came upon Abraham, he went forward by faith. Is there a person, a profession? Is there a possession or possessions? Is there a position? Is there things in your life that you have not surrendered to the Lord? I mean, where you have totally thrown yourself at the mercy of God in light of being willing to do anything that God asks you to do, no matter the cost. Have you done that? If so, do you need to renew that surrender? Secondly, do you believe God will supply all your need? Number one, have you surrendered all you have, which includes obedience, faith, and fear, and surrender? But number two, do you truly believe God will supply all your need as a result of you putting it all? It breaks my heart, brethren, that when I am in situations that I observe spouses not surrendering each other to Christ, parents not surrendering children to God, children not surrendering parents to God, and saying, God, I cannot control them. I will do my part to fulfill my role, but God Almighty, I am committing them to Your care. And instead, there's that human nature that wants to control that other person and force that other person against their own will. And what really needs to take place right there is where you need to surrender that person or that situation or circumstance completely to God's care. Put them on the altar and let God provide miraculously as He will. He's bound by His word. Do you believe God will supply all you need in the situation that you're facing? Maybe God's calling someone here into the ministry, and you're thinking, well, what about my job? well, what about this? And what about that? And basically, what you're making excuses for is what you need to say is, God, if it is your will, although it doesn't make sense, it seems to contradict where I'm at right now, but Lord, whatever you want me to do, I want to put it on the altar. God's care, God's power, God's plan. It's believing that completely. Can you try to envision the mind of Abraham at this point? What's going through his mind? He is simply obeying God's word and he believes that God is going to provide. You know, would you flip with me just for a moment over to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. In your New Testament there, sometimes it's quicker just to go to the book of Revelation and flip back a few books right before James. Book of Hebrews chapter 11. Abraham really did believe God, church, and we have it recorded here in Genesis and we have it recorded here in Hebrews. Look with me just for a moment. At verses 17 through 19 of Hebrews chapter 11. Excuse me. Notice what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, he was tested, he was tempted in that sense, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. This verse right here explains to us what Abraham's thought process was on this very account. Abraham was thinking this, church. I don't understand it all, but I know that God has promised the Messiah through this son right here, Isaac. And if God is telling me to go and to make him a burnt offering for a sacrifice, if it does take place, I believe God is going to raise him up. That faith was saying this, church, I don't care what my circumstances are saying to me. I don't care what the rest of the world is saying to me. I'm going to trust God. That was Abraham's spirit. I desire that. I hope you do. He believed God. Going back to Genesis there. Back to Genesis 22. Would you look there with me? Again. This point is talking about, do you really believe God is able to supply all you need right now in your life? Imagine this is the climb to Mount Moriah. As you see there in verse 6, Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and he laid it upon his son Isaac. Let me clarify something here. I'm not sure what paintings you've seen of this passage of Scripture. But some have Isaac as a little boy. Isaac was not a little boy. If you study the chronology of this passage in the life of Abraham and Isaac, it is definitely, he is at least an older teenager. Perhaps even in his 20s. Some would even say he was up in his early 30s. But nevertheless, he was a young man. He was strong. He had an intellect. He had a will. He was mature in that sense. And so we see the lad's response to his dad. And we see the relationship they had because Isaac obviously trusted his dad. As he's putting the wood, and listen, can I just say this right here? Abraham was an old man. He was an older man. He didn't have the strength he did at one time. And I don't know this for sure, but I think that maybe Isaac was of that age where maybe if it ever came around to it, which it never did here, but we could see that maybe if Abraham and Isaac got into it at this point in his life, Isaac might have been able to take his old man physically. But we don't see any resistance. We don't see him being combative. We see him asking a question. But Abraham simply tied the wood upon his son's back as they take this journey up the mountain. And by the way, this story is a type of Calvary. This was fulfilled through Jesus Christ when the Bible says that He bore His own cross upon His back. He carried the cross. This is a type of Christ in Calvary, but nevertheless we see Isaac is going to take the wood and his daddy is going to have the fire. This fire is a figure of speech for fire starting instruments. And so he's got the fire starting instruments, and it says here that he takes that and he has the knife. And so as they walk up together, his son is going to ask the question that we have these things here, Daddy, but where is the sacrifice? And he makes it clear to his son, my son, God will provide, in verse 8, himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they both went up together. I don't know how quiet that walk was. I don't know what all the conversation was going up to that burnt sacrifice altar. But my friends, I want to tell you something. When God puts His finger on something in your life, in my life, where He's calling us to surrender, a full surrender, I'm telling you, a lot of times it just gets quiet. And it should be quiet. It should be a time to reflect. Think about Jehovah Jireh. God will provide. No matter what. And they made the journey all the way up top. And by the way, this young strong man Isaac, who could have fought his daddy and probably taken him down, got up on the altar and allowed his daddy to tie him down. We see a willing submission there to trust his daddy's judgment. And as they get to that point, in verse number 10, when Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to come down upon his son, before he would do that, he would hear those words, Abraham, Abraham, the angel of the Lord called out. And Abraham, the same way, responded immediately, Lord, here am I. And at that point, God told him to stay the hand and said, don't touch the lad, neither do anything to him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son from me. And can I ask you a question right now? Again, do you trust God with everything? Because if you're holding on to anything in your life, church, if I am holding on to anything, can I tell you very clearly, we are not trusting God. And we're not surrendered to God. And another question is why does it say God, who is the self-existing one, the eternal one, the all-wise one, why does the Scripture say, now I know? Almost as if, God, you didn't know before? Well, you have to understand the context. With God Himself, neither time nor space exist. But in the moment of time and space, this is when it happened in time and space. And he got to see it happen in the exact time and space that Abraham did it. And when he says, "Now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son from me," God was able to witness him in time doing exactly what God called him to do. And it was not just for God to see, but it was for Abraham to see that you can trust God. Even if it's up to the last point of your life, trust Him. In Hebrew, in verse 8, it reads, Yairelo, which allows two options. The first is that God will provide for Himself, or second, that God will provide Himself as an offering. Either way, it was a divine provision. God will always come through, church. God will always come through. Abraham lifted up his eyes and he realized the Lord had intervened. And then in verse 14, we see here, Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh. And it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. The actual name Jehovah Jireh, Jireh can be translated two different ways. They're pretty much the same. They just say it a different way. One is God sees, or God provides, or God will provide. And the idea that God sees exactly where you are in life. He sees the testing in your life. He sees the trial in your life. And He is watching. And He is going to provide for that need, church. He's going to provide for this church. He's going to provide for me and my family. He's going to provide for you and your family. I'm telling you, church, we can trust Jehovah Jireh. He spared Abraham's son, didn't he? Now imagine Genesis 22:1. Abraham's about his flocks. He's out there with the sheep. I don't know. Maybe he's by a fire. I don't know. Maybe he's in the house resting. I don't know. But when he gets this call, it comes out of nowhere. Abraham, take your son, your only son, the one you love, the one I've promised the seed through. Take him. That heaviness upon him, I can't imagine. And I don't know, maybe you're in that season of life where God is calling you to surrender something and it's heavy. It's something maybe it just be heavy in your life. And God is saying, give it to me. And perhaps you're in that season where you're working through the process. You're just obeying the Lord. You're doing what you know is pleasing to Him. You're walking with Him no matter the sacrifice, no matter what everybody else is saying. You're doing what God is telling you to do. And then, ladies and gentlemen, you get to that point where Jehovah Jireh steps in. You may not be at that point right now, but I'm telling you, as much as I know this Bible, it's coming. The provision is coming. How it's going to happen? I don't know. But God knows. God knows very well. He knows perfectly. And it's going to be beautiful. I don't know about y'all, but I got to thinking about that. When after this happened, the Word of God says, after the Lord had provided and given that promise, because he feared the Lord, he obeyed the Lord, he did. It says in verse 19, and Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. Can you imagine with me, church, the conversation that took place on the way to Beersheba? Fellas, y'all won't believe what God did. Isaac, wasn't that awesome, son? And Isaac said, yes, Daddy. It was awesome! provided. And we give Him the glory. My friends, I'm telling you right now, I don't care how tough it is, seems right now. I don't care what the impossibility is before you. You trust Him. In closing, would you go with me, please, to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. There in your New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, and the Romans, chapter 8. And we're still under the point, do you believe God will supply all you need? Notice with me verse number 32. Please let this truth sink to the very center of your soul. Verse 32. He, that's God, that spared not His own Son, that's Jesus, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Church, in the light of the passage that we just read together, God spared Abraham's son, Isaac. But church, we see very clearly that God did not spare His own son. But He delivered him up on a cruel cross called Calvary. And the same God that delivered up His Son on the cross of Calvary, who gave His life for our sins and rose again the third day, the same God, shall He not through Him and by Him freely give us all things? And to that right there, you ought to write beside in your Bible, beside that verse, Jehovah Jireh. God will provide. The question is, it goes back to the first one. It has to start off this way. Have you surrendered all you have to God Almighty? No matter whether it's a person, place, possession, profession, whatever, God, it's yours.